War and War Crimes. Photojournalist Karim Ben Khalifa has seen it all through his camera lens. Khalifa is originally from Tunisia, but now lives in Belgium. He's been all over the world documenting wars and their consequences. But recently, he found himself facing a kind of existential crisis.
I was frustrated with what I was doing as a war correspondent, going on front lines, trying to really be the witness of what was happening on the edge of those conflicts.
Khalifa began to question whether his photographs conveyed the reality he was seeing on the ground, whether his pictures alone could change minds. So he started experimenting with virtual reality.
When I discovered virtual reality, I just wondered what happened to my journalism, what happened to the audience. Is the level of engagement higher, more profound? So how does this impact your memory?
Khalifa is putting those questions to the test through a new exhibition called The Enemy. The World's Lydia Emanuelidou went to check it out at the MIT Museum in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I've never done virtual reality.
Yeah, it's really cool.
To enter this virtual world, I first have to put on some special equipment, a backpack and a virtual reality headset.
Focus.
And just like that, the big empty room around me, the gray walls, it's all transformed.
So I'm walking into a room, all the walls are white, and there are pictures on the walls.
Two black and white photographs hang on opposite sides of the room. As I walk up to them, sound filters through my headset. The first photograph is of an Israeli military tent, with soldiers sitting inside. The second is of a young Palestinian throwing rocks at an Israeli military outpost. And suddenly, the two photographs disappear off the walls. Remember, this is virtual reality. In their place, two portraits, also black and white, fade into existence. Khalifa tells me in a recorded message that one is of a Palestinian fighter, Abu Khalid.
Abu Khalid is a member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. He is an athletic, good-looking man.
The other, an Israeli soldier, Gilad. When the narration ends, I hear footsteps. I turn around and see the two combatants walk into the room.
Whoa.
Gilad and Abu Khalid stand in front of their portraits on opposite sides of the room. I watch them from the middle. I can tell they're not real, but they feel so close to it that it's unsettling.
Come to me.
Gilad, the Israeli soldier, calls me over. He's in his khaki uniform, his hands crossed in front of him. When I get close enough, Gilad greets me, and for the next few minutes, I listen to a recording of the photographer asking Gilad a set of questions. What is violence to you? Khalifa asks. Who is your enemy and why? And what is peace for you?
Gilad? Where do you see yourself in 20 years from now?
In 20 years from now, I wish to see myself accompanying my little girl to her graduation from the university instead of the ceremony discharging her from the military.
As he speaks, Gilad gestures with his hands. He makes and breaks eye contact, and he keeps me engaged in a way his portrait right behind him didn't. When the conversation ends, I walk to the other side of the room, where the Palestinian fighter, Abu Khalid, waits for me. He's wearing camouflage, and Damascus covering his face. And he, too, answers a set of questions.
Where do you see yourself in 20 years from now?
I have been through extremely painful situations. 23 members of my family passed away. They died a martyr's death, including my grandfather, my uncles, and children. 8 kids of my family. I have also been severely injured during Israeli occupation, and they've destroyed my home. After all that, I still believe in hoping for a peace that ensures a decent living and a free life inside Palestine.
When the interviews are over, the two men turn to leave. They walk out of the room, alongside each other, never interacting. In the next virtual rooms, I meet two more sets of combatants, members of competing gangs in El Salvador, fighters in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Khalifa hopes that meeting these combatants, even in this virtual form, will grab people and help them listen more deeply. But it's not just about the experience. After I go through the exhibition, Khalifa tells me that, in reimagining his work, he's grappled with another big question.
Who do I actually want to talk to? Who's my target audience for this work? And the primary target audience is to get to the next generation of fighters. The people who've been told the story about the other, who are in this process of dehumanization, because there is no meeting point in between humans in these places for understanding each other and the commonality of each other.
Khalifa's working to bring the exhibition to the Middle East, as well as Africa and Central America, though he did have one showing in Tel Aviv over the summer.
When they get to this Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the Israeli or Palestinian audience had to walk towards their enemy, which is not something they do in real life. They would actually do the opposite, but here they're safe enough. That doesn't mean they walk, you know, nicely and comfortably. They go with fear, they go with apprehension, they go with a number of stereotypes, but it's a good way to challenge that.
And while some audiences here in the U.S. may not be Khalifa's primary target, he says there's still much to take away from the exhibition. Will it work? Khalifa admits he doesn't know. It's a proposition, an intervention, he says, one that might leave you with more questions than answers. For The World, Lydia Emanuelidou, Cambridge, Massachusetts.